You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves FanRag website for written content, as well as to check out past podcasts. You can also go on my Twitter feed at C Molesky, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y. There's podcasts posted there, as well as articles I've written for various sites on there as well. Today, we have a few things going on. We have an interview with Adam King. He's a contributor for the Locked On Wolves FanRag site. He does the written articles on the site. He will be coming on after the break. We have to recap the game four, and we have to, or I will be getting you prepped. There will be a previewing of game five on tomorrow's episode, so we won't really talk about that too much, but we will be recapping game four. I have a few takeaways from that game, three things I would really like to draw your attention to, and then we have the Adam King interview. That interview happened over the weekend, just talking about some of the things that he's been seeing as he's been watching the Timberwolves games, and he brings also a little bit of a fantasy aspect to it as well, some real stats and analytics behind the way he thinks about basketball, just because he has been writing for the Locked On Fantasy site for quite some time, so he thinks about it from a lot more of a numbers and production standpoint as well. So interesting take on some of the Timberwolves and how they've been playing and what they've been doing through the series. Going to have to give that a listen, or stay tuned for that interview later in the podcast. First, the Timberwolves losing game four at home, 119-100. The Rockets top the Timberwolves in Target Center. A few things happened in this game that people are going to be talking about for a few days. First of all, the most prevalent thing, the 50-point, that's right, 50-point third quarter that the Rockets put up on the Timberwolves after the half. It was obviously a really tight game, a 50-49 game going into the half, and then the Timberwolves just get obliterated 50-20 in the third quarter. The third quarter has been a place where the Timberwolves usually can gain some ground. You saw that plenty of times over the regular season. You saw that in game three. Third quarter was huge for the Timberwolves in getting into that game and taking the lead, actually, in that game over the Rockets. Third quarter was huge for the Rockets in this one. They were having a little bit of a funk. You had James Harden start out with the 1-for-8 shooting, and he was having some trouble. Chris Paul was having some trouble. Eric Gordon wasn't hitting anything early in this game, and then the 50-point quarter happens, and it was curtains for the Timberwolves from there. The Houston Rockets only needed 19 points in the fourth quarter to really stave the Timberwolves off, keep them at arm's length. And man, what a way to go down, especially after the Timberwolves came out swinging defensively. Before we continue, I just want to get, I guess this is a good time as any, get to my three things, the three top takes that I have, my three digestible nuggets, my three reactions, call them whatever you like. These are the three things that really stick out to me after watching this game. First, the defense that they had, the Timberwolves had at the beginning, and they didn't really stick to. You saw them really doing a great job attacking the screen, crowding the attempted picks at the top of the key or off the top of the elbow from the three-point line. You saw James Harden, Chris Paul, they're trying to get free, and then there was, you could almost classify it as a double team because you had the original person guarding. So if, let's just say, for example, this happened a lot, especially in the first quarter, Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins, they were switching off and on to Harden a lot in this game, especially in the first quarter, second quarter as well. Did a really good job of this in the opening half. You saw them rush out when Harden was trying to grab a screen or a pick from Clint Capella or PJ Tucker. You saw them just bull rush out. They attacked the three-point line. Both of them were right there, crowding right there around the screen, and it really didn't give Harden any space to see the court or to get free for a shot, and it really did a good job, too, of kind of clogging up the pick and roll as well. And you had Taj Gibson or Towns sitting back in the paint waiting for somebody to roll right away to the basket. So you're clogging up that action as well as you had a little bit of a safety net in the paint. Really good job by the Timberwolves doing that. It may because the Rockets like to play a lot of isolation, and they wanted Chris Paul or James Harden to have the ball, to keep the ball on that pick and roll, but to just use that action to get free. The Timberwolves did a good job of that early on, really got away from that later on in the game. That was a little disappointing that they got away from that later in the game. The second thing was that Jimmy Butler looked really solid early on. You saw him trying to keep his team in it later, just wasn't working out. I like the offense when they're making extra passes, and I felt like that's what Jimmy Butler was helping facilitate early on, was that extra pass. I think you saw Derrick Rose do a good job of it. He had 17 points. Butler had 19. You saw a good job of Butler and Rose and Teague facilitating that extra pass. You had Rose, who had the 4 assists. You had Butler with 5 assists, Teague with 5 assists. They were doing a good job passing early on, and then it went to isolation later on. And that was something that I really liked right away. And then the third thing, that isolation basketball, you had the and I guess this could kind of count as the second thing too. You know what? We're just going to go on the fly. We're just going to roll this all into one point. They played really well early on, passing the ball around, getting that extra pass in to make the shot easier, to get the better look for the shooter. And then later on, especially late in that third quarter when you were really feeling the Timberwolves' desperation after the Rockets just kept knocking down shot after shot, you saw them going down the floor and popping the quick three. They not only is this an offense that doesn't really shoot the three particularly well or go to the three particularly often, but it makes it really easy for a defense when you go down and you shoot a long three. It makes them easier because it makes it easy because the man-to-man defense, it's already kind of set up when you're running back, especially when the Rockets were making shots and they had a little more time to run back. If you're just attacking man-to-man defense with a three-point shot early in the shot clock, not really setting anything up, and you're playing isolation without any extra movement or action around the isolation, it makes it super easy for the defense to get set up and to get the rebound to get set up under the rim. You saw the Timberwolves, they had a bunch of guys posted outside, so not a ton of guys even contesting for those rebounds. There's a lot of guys outside looking for the chance to get the pass, and then you had that one guy with the ball take the shot. Just not a great offensive look for the Timberwolves, not what they're built to do, and really you don't want to see most teams fall into this kind of offense, especially a team that struggles so much from three. The third thing to take away from this game is that James Harden, Chris Paul, this was the first game that they were really on fire together at the same time. You had Harden starting out slow. Even Chris Paul started out slow, even though he didn't take as many shots as Harden early on. But they finished Harden 46% shooting and Chris Paul 52% shooting. Harden with the 36 points, Chris Paul with 25 points, 6 assists. Both of these guys looked really great late in that game in the third quarter. They owned the third quarter, and you had the early points from Trevor Ariza. He had 15. You had Eric Gordon chipping in later in this game, and he finished with 18. Clint Capela with 14, 17 rebounds. I'm not going to say this was full-strength Rockets because I think there's still another level they can hit, which is scary. But this was the most collaborative performance from them yet, with the plus 25 or over from both Harden and Paul. And then you had Trevor Ariza and Eric Gordon hitting their stride in different parts of this game. You had Capela doing what he needed to do, cleaning up the boards, and he had a really solid double-double. Really good game from him. And I just think that this was the most collaborative performance you've seen from the Rockets. This was definitely the version of the Rockets where everybody's chipping in, where you have different guys chipping in at different parts of the game, and you have the two studs kind of carrying throughout the bulk of this game with some of their best play. And so if you take away the first quarter of this game, and even then in the first quarter, Trevor Ariza started out really well and knocked down a couple of threes early on. He'd been struggling from three-point range for the opening three games of this series, and so him knocking down threes was a bit of a wrinkle that helped the Rockets early. But even if you take away that first quarter, to have James Harden and Chris Paul really dominate the bulk of this game from then on out is what helped the Rockets and also opened up guys like Aaron Gordon. It helped guys like Clint Capela get some putbacks and some nice boards. And so this was the Rockets a little closer to that full strength. I think there is another level they can hit, but it's pretty scary to see them hit their stride so well. And if they play like that again in the fifth game, no contest. It's going to be a wrap on the series. We're going to get to a quick break from some sponsors before we get to our interview Stumbling over my words here on Tuesday morning. We're going to get to an interview with Adam King, but first, a break for some sponsors. As promised, this is the interview with Adam King. He is a writer with the Locked On Wolves podcast. He writes for the FanRag website. He writes for Locked On Fantasy. He does the fantasy basketball, and he's got articles all over the place. Make sure to check him out after the interview, but first, enjoy this interview with Adam King. Hey, everybody. Colt Molesky here doing an interview with Adam King. He is one of the contributors to the Locked On Wolves site. He does the written content, so when you check out that site and you're looking at the articles, Adam King is the architect behind those. And today he is going to be giving us a couple of the things that he had impressions of this team, or he had takes on this team that have changed over the couple of games of the playoffs. So some things that he went into the season thinking, or left the season thinking, and now the playoffs have drastically changed his mind about. Adam, thanks for joining the show.
No worries. It's been a while coming. We've been talking about this for a while, so we finally made it, so that's good.
I'm sure people can tell by your accent, but you are from Australia, and so working out the time zones was the most difficult thing about trying to get this show done. But you know what? You're finally here. Good to have you on.
Thanks. It'll be good to break down some of this stuff about the Wolves. I'll try and stay as positive as I can. we'll see how we go.
You know what? You're the third guest to tell me that you're going to try and stay positive, and that's probably not a good sign for the Timberwolves.
No, it's not. I have one positive thing that we can talk about. So when we might start with that one when the time comes.
Alrighty. Well, you know what? Actually, let's end on the positive. Let's end on the silver lining. Give me the negative first. What are some things that you left the season thinking about this Timberwolves team that has changed over the course of these few games?
Look, I tried to come up with a few things, and I don't think, in some respects, my thoughts haven't changed a whole lot, but I think a lot of the opinions that I had have been magnified by this series.
Okay.
I think the first point is that probably this matchup is the worst possible matchup the Wolves could have got in the playoffs, because I think it highlights a lot of their inefficiencies. So the obvious one there is around the three-point shooting on both ends of the floor. The Wolves have found it difficult to defend the three all season, and obviously the Rockets they like shooting the three. So
to say the least.
looking at the percentages from the series so far, it's a bit worrying that the Rockets haven't even shot the ball well, and they're still winning. And Wolves are basically doing what they've done all season, which is not shoot a lot of threes and not hit a lot of threes, which makes it hard to come back. If you get down 10, 15 points, and players like Towns aren't contributing the way that you would want them to, it's just hard to go bucket for bucket with a team like the Rockets and expect to make any impact on the margin. So, I think that's the obvious one, the three-point, defending the three-pointer, putting up the three-pointers. Moving on from that one, an issue, so I do a lot of fantasy basketball, so the comments generally are around the minutes that Tibbs is playing his guys. Mm-hmm. And it's good for fantasy, because if you have them on your team, they get a lot of opportunities to put up numbers. But look, Towns looks tired. He looks a little checked out too, doesn't he?
Almost.
He does a little bit. I think I commented to you, it would have been a few weeks ago now when they were making that push for the playoffs, and commented on Towns and just how much passion he plays with on the floor, and he always looks locked in, and mm-hmm. he just hasn't looked the same over these first two games. Now, whether that's just that he's down on himself a little bit with his performances, or whether he's just physically tired, I'm not sure. He has tweeted out today talking about how keen he is for this home game and how they need to perform for the fans. So it'll be interesting to see if his demeanour changes a little bit in the third game. Hopefully it does.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that it's so hard against this Rockets team to match up with the way the Timberwolves play defense. You're talking about Towns and kind of the way he's acted. Defense was something that was a concern for him early on, and he got progressively better on. But the problem is that the Rockets are so good in isolation. Looking at their regular season stats, they average 17.5 points per game in isolation plays, and that is by far and away the best. The next closest team is the Cleveland Cavaliers at 9.9 points per game, and they go to that with a 14.5% frequency per game, and they're shooting 43% from isolation. So the hard part here is that the Rockets can take on the Timberwolves so many ways. They can take them on. They do a good job of moving the ball around the perimeter. You saw a lot in that first game, Clint Capella moving around, especially off of pick-and-roll situations to get open and free. But you also have James Harden, Chris Paul doing work in isolation. And so when you're matching up against the Timberwolves, you need everybody to be locked in, and it just doesn't feel like they're exactly clicked into the series. You see it with maybe some of the plays that Towns has over the series. You see it with some of the play from Wiggins. You see it from the turnovers and Teague. It's just, you have to be locked in against a team that's so good on so many levels, especially in isolation. They can just beat you straight up man-to-man, and the Timberwolves just don't have that level of clicked in during this series so far.
No, they don't. And I think, I mean, you look at, like you said, they can attack in so many ways and so many players. The fact that a player like Gerald Green is being talked about as someone who is having an impact on the series, that's not a good sign, because, I mean, Gerald Green wasn't even on a team to begin the season. Mm-hmm. So, the fact that he's having an impact is worrying. And then you talk about Wiggins there as well. So I think another takeaway from this series is that, and I think you spoke about it on yesterday's podcast, that he looks like he's probably the only player who has been locked in for the two games, but he still hasn't had a big impact on the games at all. And the fact that he's not a young guy anymore in the scheme of things. And if you look at other players who came in with him in his draft, a lot of them have taken their game to the next level. And I don't think he hasn't done that yet. And I guess the question is, and it's talked about a lot on your podcast and on Twitter and all sorts of things that about his big contract and whether he's worth the money. And I mean, so a list here of other players from his draft class. So Joel Embiid, Aaron Gordon, Marcus Smart, Julius Randle, Gary Harris, Clint Capella, so we're seeing that in this series, and Jokic, I think, was in his as well. So they've all established themselves as really good players, and they've been able to evolve their game and develop their skills. Wiggins came in as a scorer, and he's still just a scorer. He doesn't offer a lot else. And it's a shame, because I think he has the ability on the defensive end. He's built to defend, but he just doesn't seem to be able to put it all together at the moment. And even a good game for him is not impacting the result of the game. Whereas, so like Clint Capella in the first game, he had a good game, and it basically he he decided the game, well, the first half of the game anyway, he took Towns out of the game. And I just don't see Wiggins being able to do that at the moment.
So would you look at the playoffs right now and say that as far as kind of what you have on this roster, it's been a little bit of an injection of truth serum, and maybe there was a little bit of a glaze of excitement about actually making the playoffs to kind of cover up a bunch of these things, but they're all just coming to fruition during this playoff series?
Yeah, I think so. It's just based on talent alone. The Wolves got into the playoffs, and if you look at Butler missed 20 odd games, whatever it was, at the end of the season, and some of the losses in there. If the Wolves win three more games, so three of those losses, there was loss to Memphis and some of those bad ones. If Butler plays, the Wolves win at least three of those, I would say, and they finish third. Mm-hmm. And then they may be matching up with the Spurs or the Pelicans or the Nuggets, whoever, would have been a whole different story. But like I said, I think the Rockets have just shown that the Wolves aren't there yet. They're not really close. And even if they had finished third, they still would not be able to sort of get past these elite teams like the Rockets, like the Warriors. And looking forward into next season, season after that, I'm not sure how they're going to improve. You talked about it on the podcast yesterday about maybe do you move Towns to the power forward position and get someone like a Nerlens Noel. So someone in to be a rim protector, because, I mean, Towns, his defense has gotten better over the season, but he's still not an elite shot blocker. And mm-hmm. I don't know if he will. Maybe he will over time, but you don't necessarily need to shift him to the power forward position to get a rim protector. I mean, Anthony Davis led the league comfortably in blocks, and technically he's not a center. He plays center a lot, but technically he's still a power forward. So I think the Wolves need to look at their roster and the build-up of who they have and try and make some changes. But given the fact that bench guys don't seem to get any minutes for the Wolves, I don't see a lot of hot free agents wanting to come and play for the Wolves if they're only going to play 15 to 18 minutes a game. So... yeah, it's a little bit worrying looking forward. I think they're strong enough to be able to stay sort of a top four, top six team in the West. I just don't know if they can take that next step to be matching it with those elite teams like the Rockets.
Talking with Adam King, he is a writer for the Locked On Wolves fan rake site. Before we start recording, you mentioned that you had a silver lining. Why don't you give us that before you head out here?
The silver lining is, and whether this is all because of the Wolves, but the defense has been a lot better over this series. So they've kept the Rockets to, I think, around the 100-point mark from both games, 102, 104, I think. So that side of things has been really good, given the fact that the Wolves do give up 107 points a game. So their defence has been improved, and I think Jeff Teague has tweeted out about it as well, that they have been focusing on that in practices, and they have limited the scoring, but that has then taken away from their offence. So I think they've shown that they can defend, and Butler makes a difference, but like has been discussed, Butler doesn't look healthy. So I don't know if they're going to be able to turn it around enough to get a win at home. But I think the positive to come out of it is that they have shown that they can defend a team that scores a lot of points. And I think they need to trust that they can do that and then go back to their offense and try and get Towns the ball in better positions, and also play with a bit more pace Looking over the stats before this, I was surprised at the pace of the Wolves. You would, looking at the roster, you would assume that they would be quite a quick team, but apart from the Cavaliers, who their defence and their pace is very questionable as to where they finished in the rankings, the Wolves aren't a quick team, and so I think they need to take advantage of their youth and try and run teams a little bit more and get some easy baskets, as opposed to going down and setting up the offense, because it's not working at the moment. So defense has been good, and they need to focus a little bit more on their offense again.
Well, there you have it. Silver lining from Adam King. Adam, thank you so much for joining the show, and thank you to the listeners for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.